Okay, so for Simon Tzadi Zion, there are two major topics that we're, Be'ezras Hashem, going to discuss. The first one that we'll talk about is making dairy bread or fleishig bread. And then we'll have the discussion about Recha. Okay. So if you take a look at the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed, going from Daf Lamed Amud Aleph to Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara presents a Braisa. And the Braisa, it gives you two dinim. The Braisa tells you that it's usher to knead dough that contains milk. It's usher to knead a dough with milk. And if you did, that bread that you make would be usher to eat. Why? Because we're nervous that you're going to end up eating that bread together with meat. The Braisa says, "Ein lashon asiisa b'chalav v'im lash kol hapas kula asura b'bnei hergal aveira." So similarly, the second din that the Braisa gives you is that you're not allowed to smear a tanner with animal fat. You're not allowed to use even the permissible fat that we're talking about, the alya fat. So ein tashin es hatanner ba'alya v'in tash. Let's say you did smear the oven using this animal fat and you baked bread in that oven, the bread would be usher to eat until you fire up the oven and kasher it. Those are the two dinim in the Braisa. So number one, you're not allowed to knead a dough that contains milk. And number two, you're not allowed to shmir a taner using animal fat. And any bread that was baked in that oven is going to be usher to eat even by itself. So the Gemara, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav, an Aleph in Pesachim, a little bit later, is discussing matzah ashira. And Rabbi Shimon Levi tells his children, says, I don't want you to make for me matzah that contains milk for Yom Tov Rishon, for the first night of Pesach, but I would like you to make matzah for me that contains milk for the second night of Pesach, for Yom Tov Shina, for Yom Tov Sheni. Now, what would be the problem with having matzah that contains milk in the first night of Pesach? Because of matzah ashira, you need lechem oni for the first night of Pesach. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. How on earth are you allowed to make matzah that contains milk altogether? You're never allowed to make a dough that contains milk, because this braisa tells us, ein lashon asiisa b'chalav. So the Gemara gives two terutzim of how to justify Rav Shimon Levi. The second terutz that the Gemara gives is that there is a way to make bread, to make dough that contains milk in a permissible fashion. And that's based on Ravina, because Ravina said as long as you make the dough ke'ein tura, that's permissible. So the question is, what does ke'ein tura mean? So this is a big machlokas between Rashi versus the Rif and the Rambam. Rashi understands that ke'ein tura means ke'ayin shel shor. It means like the eye of an ox. And so if you make the bread, if you make dairy bread in very small quantities, such that it will be eaten very quickly before you get a chance to leave it around the house and forget that it's milchik and eat it together with fleishiks, so then that's permissible. That's how Rashi understands ke'ein tura. However, the Rif actually is on Daf Lamed, corresponding to Daf Lamed in Pesachim, where the Brice is originally quoted. So the Rif over there says, also the Rif talks about it in Chulin, but the Rif says that Ke'ein Tura doesn't mean like what Rashi says, it means like an ox. Ke'ein Tura, like an ox, in that if you make the bread with a distinct shape. And if you make the bread with a distinct shape so that it has a hecker, so then you'll make sure it'll remind you not to eat that bread together with fleishiks. And the Rambam similarly writes a lashon like that in the Rambam in Machalos Asuras. The Rambam in Perek Tesvav Machalos Asuras writes that ivim shina bitzuras hapas, if you change the shape of the bread, so that it has a hecker of some sort, so that it's distinct, so that you won't eat it together with basar, then it's mukher. The Rashba has a similar lashon, slightly different, about what exactly the distinct shape accomplishes. The Rashba says that if you make the bread with a distinct shape, so then people, before they eat it, they'll ask you, why does this bread look so funny? And you'll say, oh, it looks funny because it has milchiks, it has milk in it, and so that way you'll remind everybody not to eat this bread together with fleishiks. The Agosh HaDura quotes both Rashi and the Rambam's Svaras for Ke'ein Tura. And he takes this one step further. The Agosh HaDura says, in fact, now we can understand how is it that we're allowed to make bread, how is it that we're allowed to make challah in the same oven as pashtida. And we'll talk about Recha pashtida, but even if the bread becomes fleishik because of pashtida. So now we can understand the same idea. And that's because the challah will be eaten very quickly over the course of Shabbos. So you're only making a small amount of challah, so it will be eaten quickly, and so you won't eat it together with milchitz. In other words, what he seems to be doing is he's basing our practice to be able to make challah that was fleishik. So that would be okay because of Rashi's position. Now, the Darkei Moshe quotes from this Ravatar Arach that we also, the way that we make challah is also okay in light of the Rif, because we make challah with a distinct shape, and since we make it with a distinct shape, so then it'll be a reminder to you not to eat it together with milchiks. Okay. Now, the Hagos Ashri, by the way, actually, before we talk about the Hagos Ashri, what we have so far is that we have the braisa that tells you you're not allowed to make dairy bread, you're not allowed to knead a dough that contains milk. We have the Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav that says Rabbi Shimon Levi told his kids to make him dairy matzah for the second night of Pesach. The Gemara asks, how could he do that? And the Gemara explains, because Kain Tura is acceptable. And Rashi explains Kain Tura means that it's like the eye of an ox, and that you're making the bread in small quantities so that it'll be eaten quickly before you leave the bread around, leaving it and forgetting that it's milchuk. However, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba understand that it means that you're making bread with a distinct shape so that you'll know that this is different bread. It's bread that contains milk, so you won't eat it together with milchuks. So that is in terms of dairy bread. So similarly, the Braisa, as we know, there were two parts to the Braisa. First was in lashon asa'isa b'chala. The second part was that you're not supposed to grease an oven, you're not supposed to shmear an oven with animal fat, because the bread in it will be fleishik, and that bread will be usher, even to be eaten by itself. And so the only way to ever use that oven again is that you're going to have to kasher, you're going to have to torch it, essentially. So similarly, the Beis Yosef says that the same way that dairy bread has the rule of Kein Tura, so that idea, that heter of Kein Tura, is going to apply to fleishik bread as well. So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Sadi Zayin Aleph, the Mechaber actually presents both the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam. The Mechaber writes, Ein lashon isa b'chalav, you're not allowed to knead a dough with milk. Shem yovel ochlab in basa, because maybe you'll eat it together with meat. But let's say you did knead it with milk, so then the entire bread is aser, even to eat it by itself. But then the Mechaber says, Vim haya davar mu'at, but if it was a very small amount, kedei achil b'vas achas, to eat it quickly. Oh, sheshina b'tzuras hapas shetaini keres, or that you altered the shape of the bread so that it's nicker, shelo yochel b'basa, that you shouldn't eat it together with meat, then it's mutter. And similarly, he writes, kiyotzibo, similarly, ein ofen pas betana shetachu ba'alyer, you're not allowed to bake bread in an oven that was greased with animal fat. Vim afo, and if you did bake the bread in that oven, dino ki isa shem yalosha b'chalav, it would have the same halacha like bread that was kneaded with milk. Now, along with those lines, the Ramah explains that that's how we're allowed to make dairy bread on Shavuos. He says that's why v'lechein noagin lalosh pas im chalav b'chag Shavuos. That's how we have the custom to knead bread that contains milk for Shavuos. Gam b'shuman l'chvod Shabbos, we also make fleishik bread that contains shuman for Shabbos. Why is that okay? Because this is considered like a davar mu'an, and also they have distinct shapes. Now, there is the concern of the Hagos Ashri, and the Hagos Ashri tells you that in general it's not a good idea to make bread in the same oven as pashtida, as this meat pie, because we're nervous about the gravy of the meat pie oozing out and slipping its way into your bread, and you not realizing that your bread has this gravy in it, in which case it would be fleishik, and that would be a problem. In fact, the Mechaber, the Ramah does pass in that way. The Ramah writes, Vein lafos shum pas in paladin or pashtida, but how do you bake bread in the same oven containing meat pie or some sort, some meat dish? Why? Because shem yazov min hashuman el hapas. Because maybe the shuman, the gravy, the grease will ooze its way out and flow into your bread. Now, bidi yeved, let's say you did bake your bread in the same oven as pashtida. So the shach says, bidi yeved, unless you saw that there's gravy that actually oozes its way out of the pashtida, then you're going to be okay. That's going to be fine. The Shach also talks a little bit about Sfek Sveika. We're not going to go into that right now. But Bidi Yevet, if you baked bread in the same oven as Pashtida, let's say there were two different racks and the bread was higher up, then there's no problem. Now, Along these lines of Ein Lashon Isa B'Chalav and Ein Tashin Esa Tana Be'Alya, so the Taz is an interesting comment. The Taz over here says, along the lines that you're not supposed to make fleshek bread because you might eat that bread together with milchiks, or you're not supposed to make dairy bread because you might eat that bread together with fleshiks. The Shach says, what about the following scenario? Let's say you have a parv grinder, and you use this parv grinder to grind your spices. And of course, you use the spices for whatever you need in the kitchen. You use the spices to season milchiks, use the spices to season fleshiks. So you have this parv grinder. What happens if one day you take this parv grinder and you grind up spices that are mixed together with fleshig soup, with fleshig gravy or fleshig shuman? So now your grinder is fleshig. So now the question is, are you allowed to say, okay, this once upon a time was a parv grinder, but now I'm going to use it for fleshiks? So says the Taz, the same idea that we have for Ein Lashon Isa B'Chalav is going to apply by this grinder as well. And therefore, this grinder cannot be used at all in the future unless you kasher it. Even if you want to use this grinder now for fleshiks, it's not acceptable because we're nervous that you're going to end up grinding up spices that will be used with... And you'll use the meaty spices, you'll use it to season your cheese omelet, and that's going to be a problem. So therefore, the Taz says the only way for this grinder to be used ever again is if you kasher it. Okay. That's in terms of Ein Lashon Isa B'Chalav, and that's in terms of Ein Tashin Esa Taner Be'Alya. The next major discussion is the topic of Recha. In the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Ein Vav Amid Beis, that's where we find the sugya of Recha. There are three major cases that the Gemara deals with. The first one is a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Rav and Levi discuss what happens if I roast kosher meat in the same oven as non-kosher meat. Now, what exactly is the case? Rashi understands the case to be over here that you have two spits going in the same oven. And you, on one spit, you have your kosher meat, and then the other spit, you have your nevela meat. Is that okay? So Rav gives you a big chumrah, and Levi gives you a big kula. Rav says, even if the kosher meat is very fatty, and the non-kosher meat is very lean, and therefore you would imagine that as the kosher meat is cooking, its fattiness is going to contribute the overwhelming aroma in this oven. And therefore, if anything, the kosher meat should overwhelm the non-kosher meat's effects. Even so, Rav says that this is going to be a problem. You're not going to be able to eat the kosher meat that was cooked, that was roasted in this oven. Why not? Doesn't the kosher meat, which is really fatty, overwhelm the non-kosher meat? So Rashi explains that the idea over here is that even though it is true that the kosher meat is really fatty and the non-kosher meat is lean, and therefore the kosher meat should overwhelm the fatty meat, but the fact of the matter is that even though all of that fattiness is being cooked and creating this aroma in the oven, but it's going to circulate. And so that aroma, the fatty meat, is going to create this aroma that infuses, that permeates the non-kosher meat, but then it's going to circulate, and it's going to come right out of that non-kosher meat and go right back in to the kosher meat. And that's why there's a problem of Recha, according to Rav. However, Levi comes along and he says, Recha lav milsihi. And Levi says, even if the kosher meat were lean and the non-kosher meat were fatty, and therefore you would imagine that the fatty non-kosher meat should overwhelm, it's the aroma created by the fatty non-kosher meat should overwhelm the kosher meat, even in that case, Levi says that's not a problem. Why? Because Recha lav milsihi. That's the first case. So from the first case in the Gemara, where I'm roasting kosher meat together with non-kosher meat, Rav says, Recha milsihi, and Levi says, Recha lav milsihi. The Recha, the aroma produced by that non-kosher meat, is halachically insignificant. Now, the Gemara then goes on, a little bit further down, the Gemara presents two psakim from the Amoraim. Rav Kahana came along, and Rav Kahana said, what about if somebody baked bread in the same oven as meat? Is the bread considered to be fleshik now? So Rav Kahana said, actually that bread is considered to be fleshik, and you would not be able to eat that bread together with kudat. You wouldn't be able to eat that bread baked in the same oven as meat together with milchiks. Now, Rava Miparzakya had a similar story. Rava Miparzakya had a story in which fish was baked in the same oven as meat. And Rav Miparzakya paskin that fish cannot be eaten together with kudat. So the question is, we have these three cases in the Gemara. Case one, where there are machlokas between Rav and Levi, is that where you roasted kosher meat together with non-kosher meat in the same oven. Rav said, Recha milsihi. Levi said, Recha lav milsihi. And then subsequently, we had two psakim from the Amoraim that seemed to indicate that Recha milsihi. Rav Kanda's psak that if you have bread baked in the same oven as fleishiks, you're not allowed to eat that bread together with kutach. Seemingly, Rav Kanda holds Recha milsihi. Rav Ami Prezikya's psak that if I have fish, the story where fish was baked in the same oven as meat, I would not be able to eat that meat together with milchiks, presumably because Rava Mi Prezikya paskins that he paskins Recha milsihi. So the question is, how do we paskin? So the Baalei Taisa say, well, clearly, the Gemara goes on to present a Maisa Rav, where Rava is paskining, where there is a real-life scenario where Rava paskins like Rav. So it seems that the halacha would be that Recha Milsahi. And that's why the Rebbeinu Tam paskin Recha Milsahi. However, by the way, even though Rebbeinu Tam paskins that Recha Milsahi, It's not so clear cut that that's the unequivocal rule. The Baalei Tosfos themselves say that Rabbeinu Tam, who's machmer to say that Recha Milsihi, that we pass on like Rav, that's only in those days for their ovens that were really small. For our ovens, which are much larger and often offer a lot more space for the aroma to spread out, then we wouldn't be as machmer. Now, by the way, how big is a big oven if you were in the Rabbeinu Tam's world? So the Smak says a big oven is considered to be an oven that has the capacity to hold 12 isaronim of matzos. And the Torah quotes this lehalacha. As we'll see, does the Mechaber. The Beis Yosef says, though, that if you take a look at the Baal Ma'ar and the Rashba, they just say that we need a big oven. But they're not so particular about the exact size of the oven. Okay, but either way, that's Shitas Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Tam paskins light of the Mice arrive in the Hemsha for the Gemara. Rebbeinu Tam says, clearly the Gemara seems to be noted towards Rav's Shita, that we'd say Recha Milsihi. However, Rashi says the story doesn't end with the Gemara M'sach Naf Ayin Vavim Beis. Actually, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that gives us some clues. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Vavim Beis, presents a machlokas between Abai and Rava in the following case. The question is, if a guy asks you, in those days, if you wanted to check that a barrel of wine was to see if a barrel of wine had become vinegarized. So what they would do is they would make a hole in the barrel and they would basically inhale the fumes of the contents of the barrel, and they would in that way they'd be able to sense if the contents of that barrel were smelled vinegary or if they smelled like they were still wine. So what happens if a guy asks a Jew, would you mind inhaling this wine for me? So is that permissible? Is it permissible to inhale this wine by inhaling through the hole in the barrel? So this is machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Abaye says it's usur. It's usur to do that. Why? Because Recha Milsihi. And Rava says actually that's perfectly acceptable because Recha Lav Milsihi. And Rava in fact gives a riot. He has a riot to what he says. He says there's a mission in Trumas that says what happens if I fueled an oven using cumin that was Truma. So is anybody else allowed to eat the bread baked in that oven? And the Mishnah says, you're allowed to. So Rava says, clearly you see from this Mishnah, Recha Milsihi. And Abaye says, no, that's not true. That's not the same thing. Over there, the cumin is being totally incinerated. So that's not really an issue of Recha. That's why it's permissible. Okay, but either way, what you see is that there's a machlokas between Rav and Abaye if you say Recha Milsihi or Recha Lav Milsihi. Abaye says Recha Milsihi. And Rava says Recha Lav Milsihi. So, if Rava paskins that Recha is halachically insignificant, so Rashi says, between Rava and Abaye, we know that with exception of Yal Kagam, we paskin like Rava over Abaye. And if that's the case, we would paskin then that Recha lav milsi. And now, we know that when we get to the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vav and Beis, machlokes between Rav and Levi, where Rav says Recha Milsihi, and Levi says Recha lav milsi, we're going to paskin like Levi, because that's consistent with Rava's Shita. That's how Rashi understands the circuit. However, the big question is that so what happened though with the Hemshech of the Gemara? Rashi is telling us that we are going to pass like Levi over Rav. The problem is that the very same clues that prodded the Rebbeinu Tam, actually before we get to Rashi Shita, should mention, what are the Balatazos going to do with the Gemara of Adazara? The Gemara of Adazara seems pretty clear that Rav paskins Reicha Milsihi. So how is it that the Balatazos are going to deal with that? So the Balatazos explain, there's a little bit of an arichas in that Gemara of Adazara, but the Balatazos basically say there's a very big difference between the case in Avadazara and the case in Misachim. The case in Avadazara, say the Balatazos, and they learn this consistently, is that you're literally inhaling the fumes of that wine. And the Balatazos say that's almost like you're drinking the wine. So that's, of course, why there's a tzad to be much more machmer. But that's not the standard case of Reicha. And so in that case, yeah, that's where you have a little bit of a discussion between Rav and Abayi. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily, that's going to be the exact same case as what we're talking about over here in the Gemara Misachim. Therefore, it's justifiable to say that we're going to pass him like Rav in this Gemara Misachim, where we're dealing with an actual standard case of Reicha. Now, what's Rashi, though, going to do with the Hemshech of the Gemara? The Hemshech of the Gemara seem to be pretty clear that there's Maisa Rav, there are Amoraim who paskin like Rav. So there are three mahalchim of how to understand the Hemshech of the Gemara. There's the Rif, the Ran, and the Rav Yah. The Rif understands that we paskin like Levi. Now, the Rif says, what about the Hemshech of the Gemara? Why is it that we're machmir when it comes to, how is it that the Amoraim were machmir when it came to bread that was baked in the same oven as fleishiks, as meat? So the Rif explains that's because Levi himself, if you notice, the case was what happened if you... Levi, the machlokas between Rav and Levi is in the case where what happens if you have kosher meat that was already roasted in the same oven as non-kosher meat. So in that case, Levi was giving up psak b'di'evit. That b'di'evit, in this case, the meat would be fine. It would be permissible to eat that kosher, the buster that was kosher. However, in the Hemshech of the Gemara, when the Gemara is telling you if you have bread that was baked together in the same oven as meat, that is, as far as we're concerned, the bread by itself is kosher, right? We're not dealing with bread that's questionably treif. We're dealing with bread that's either fleishig or not fleishig. And so that bread, in order for us to tell you that you're allowed to go ahead and eat that bread together with kutah, that's like giving you a psak lechatchila. And so Levi himself would be machmer in that case, because that's not really considered a case of bidi evin. If we would tell you that you're allowed to eat that bread together with kutach, that's as though that's like the same thing as if we would be telling you you're allowed to roast meat in the same oven as non-kosher meat. That's the Rif's mahalach. The Rambam, as Lisa is understood by the Beis Yosef, seems to understand like the Rif. The Rambam in Hilchos Machal Sasuris, in the 15th parak, he says, you're not allowed to roast kosher meat together with non-kosher meat. If you did, then it's permissible to eat the kosher meat. But then, in a parak Tais in Machal Sasuris, the Rambam tells you that if you have bread that was baked in the same oven as meat, it's also to eat that bread together with milk. And so the Beis Yosef understands that the Rif and the Rambam are consistent with one another. That's the first mahalach in the Gemara. The second mahalach is the Ran. The Ran says, actually, I'll tell you what the Pshat and the Hemshech of the Gemara. We have the machlokes between Rav and Levi, where they're discussing what happens if you have kosher meat that was baked in that was roasted in the same oven as non-kosher meat. Rav was machmir, Reicha Milsi, Levi was Mekel, and then in the Hemshech of the Gemara, we have two stories, we have two psachim from the Amoraim, first with bread that was baked together with meat, that we say that you're not in the same oven as meat, and you're not allowed to eat that bread together with kutach, and then we have a fish was baked in the same oven as meat, you're not allowed to eat that fish together with kutach. So the Ran explains, why is it that we're machmir when it comes to the bread that was baked with meat, in the same oven as meat? That's because of two reasons. Either because, practically, if you take that bread, the bread is infused with the aroma of meat. And if you would eat that bread, you would taste this, you would sense the meaty flavor that was imparted via the aroma of that meat. And so therefore, if we would tell you that you're allowed to eat that meat, that you're allowed to take that bread that's infused with the aroma of meat, and you're allowed to make a grilled cheese sandwich, it would feel like you're eating basar v'chol. And that's why we answer it. The second potential reason why we're machmer by that bread, to eat that bread, not to eat that bread together with milchitz, is because just in general, for basar v'chalav, which people generally eat basar, people eat chalav, so it's a milsa delo b'dili in shemineh, and so we're generally more machmer when it comes to basar v'chalav.
Okay, so far we had the Rif's Mahalach and Amchach of the Gemara. The Rif was basically saying the Levi would even be Machmer by a case of bread that was baked with meat, in the same oven as meat, because that, if we would allow you to eat that bread together with Kutach, that's like a matzav of Lichatchila. And then we have the Ran, who says that we would be Machmer with the bread that was baked in the same oven as meat, either because it feels like you're eating Basar V'Chalav, or because we're just in general, we have a more Machmer disposition towards Basar V'Chalav. The third Mahalach is the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah is quoted by the Mordechai, says it has a totally different mahalach from the Rif and the Ran. The Rif is essentially saying that we're passing like Levi. The Hemshech of the Gemara seems to be that we're passing like Rav. No, even Levi would be machmer in those cases. The Rav Yah says, no. Rav himself would disagree with the Hemshech of the Gemara. The Hemshech of the Gemara is not actually consistent with Rav Shita. The Hemshech of the Gemara is telling you that we have a machlokas between Rav and Levi regarding meat, kosher meat that was baked in the same oven as non-kosher meat. Then we have two psakim from the Amoraim, one about bread that was baked together with meat, and one about bread, and one about fish that was baked in the same oven as meat. Rav himself would be making those cases. Why? So the Rav Yah explains this is because Rav would hold that it's only when I have fatty meat that was baked in the same oven as lean meat, that's where you have a problem. But if I would have bread that was baked in the same oven as meat, or if I would have fish that was baked in the same oven as meat, that's not a problem. Rav was only machmir for Recha, to say Recha Milsi, in his case of where the meat, one of the meats were fatty. And in fact, the Rav makes a diak in that case. The Rav says that we could be makel if you had meat, kosher meat that was baked in the same oven as non-kosher meat, if both pieces of meat were lean, you would be able to makel. But in other words, what comes out is that the Rav Yah fundamentally seems to be, the Rav Yah disagrees with the Ran and the Rif, in particularly with the Ran. The Ran was basically saying that even though Levi could be makel when it comes to meat, the kosher meat that was cooked, baked in the same oven as fatty meat, why is it that we could be makel? That's because it's not nicker. It doesn't feel like you're eating treif meat. Masha Inkin, when you have bread that was baked in the same oven as meat, and that bread is now infused with the aroma of meat, so if I would make a grilled cheese sandwich out of that, it would feel like you're eating basar v'chalav. The Rav Yah understands exactly the opposite of that. The Rav Yah understands that Rav himself would disagree with the subsequent cases. It's only in a case of where I have kosher meat that was baked together in the same oven as non-kosher meat, where you have really, really fatty meat, and so that infuses a real strong aroma, that's where you'd have a problem. But in a standard case of meat, of simple meat that was baked together in the same oven as bread, or meat that was baked in the same oven as fish, that wouldn't be a problem. Lehalacha, the Beis Yosef says, we have the Rif and the Rambam on the same team, so we're definitely going to paskin like the Rif and the Rambam. Now, are there any ways to obviate the issue of Recha? So, there are three ideas that we find presented, at least that we'll discuss. The first is the Rajba. The Rajba says, if you take a look at the Gemara and Pesachim, that Gemara and Pesachim where we have the Smach Locus between Rav and Levi, Rav says, if you have kosher meat that was cooked, that was roasted together in the same oven as non-kosher meat, then it's usher to eat that kosher meat because Recha Milsa. And Levi says, no, Recha La Milsa, so therefore there's nothing wrong with eating that kosher meat. Now, in the Hemshech of the Gemara first attacks Levi and says, there's a brisa that says that you're not allowed to bake, you're not allowed to roast two carbon pesachs over the same fire. The brisa says, "Ain't solim shnei pesachim ke'echad." You're not allowed to roast them together like at once, over the same fire. Why? The brisa says, "Mamnei hataraydas," because of some mixture. So, what does that mean, "Mamnei hataraydas"? So, the Gemara says it seems that we're nervous that there's going to be a mixing, a combining of the tam of the two. Of the two carbon pesachs. And if that's the case, then it seems that this brisa is connected Levi, because the brisa seems to be saying that we're nervous about Recha from one carbon pesach into the other carbon pesach. And this is, of course, where you have a carbon pesach, you have two different groups, one roast their carbon pesach over the same fire, that's going to be a problem because of Recha. So it seems that this brisa is connected Levi. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what's going on. When the brisa tells you you're not allowed to roast two carbon pesachs over the same fire, That's not, and it says mivnei hataravis. Taravis doesn't mean because there's going to be a mixing of the tam of the two karmic pesach. That's not what it is. It's because we're nervous you're going to get the two karmic pesachs mixed up, and we're nervous that each chabura is going to end up eating the wrong karmic pesach. That's a problem. So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. That's an interesting take on the Braisa. So if you understand the Braisa that way, to say that there's actually no problem with a mix-up of tam of the Karban Pesach because Reich is not an issue, then we now the Braisa seems to be connected Rav. Because Rav holds a Reicha Milsehi. So it's, well, how does the Braisa seem to be Mashma that Reicha Lav Milsehi? So the Gemara says, oh, no. Reicha is not an issue in this case. Why is there no issue of Reicha? Even Rav would hold that this case is not an issue of Reicha. Why not? Because you're roasting the two Karban Pesachs in two different pots. The Gemara says, what do you mean you're roasting the Karban Pesach in two different pots? You're not allowed to cook a Karban Pesach in a pot. You have to cook a Karban Pesach on an open fire. So the Gemara says, no, we don't mean that you're cooking the Karban Pesach in two different pots. We mean that you're cooking the Karban Pesach in a way that it's like you're cooking the Karban Pesach in two different pots. How so? It's Ke'ein Shtei Kedeiros. What does that mean, Ke'ein Shtei Kedeiros? So you're cooking in a manner that's similar to two different pots. Rashi, so the Gemara explains, what that means is that you're cooking the two Karban Pesachs on spits, on the same fire, but that there's a mound of coals separating the two Karban Pesachs, and that's why there's no issue of Reicha. So what you see, though, from this Gemara is that even Rav agrees that if you cook two foods in the same oven, where they're in shtei kederos, or if they're in ke'en shtei kederos, then there's no problem of reicha. And that's what the Rashba paskins. The Rashba paskins, that in light of that Gemara, it's clear that as long as you make a, if you have two foods that are cooking that are in two different kederos, even if they're open on the top, but if they have some separation of, they're in two different confines, so then that's fine. That's not going to be a problem of reicha, even according to Rav. Another case where we find the idea of Reicha being obviated is the Balei Taisus and Avodah Zarah, where they talk about cooking pashtita, baking pashtita in the same oven as bread, which we mentioned briefly before in the Ramah. So the Balei Taisus say over there that if the pashtita is covered, so then it's like Kain Shtei Kederos, and that's not going to be a problem. And in fact, the Balei Taisus of Yom Tzachim also, they have a similar line, and they say, "B'tanurim shalanu nira demutol afos lechem ha'im osu pashtita." Why hol mechusas hativ have a ke'en shtei kederos? If it's covered well, then it's like shtei kederos, and shtei kederos is not a problem. One more point that we find in Agos Shari Dura, and this is quoted by the Darkei Moshe here, and that is that you can be makel if the oven's walls are slanted. If you have it in where the bread is going to be, it's going to be higher up on the wall, and the meat or whatever it is else that you're making in the oven is going to be lower down on the wall where gravy couldn't affect that bread, that's going to be, then we can be makel, because there's not going to be any concern. And that goes Sharidura, this is what we referenced before in the Ramah briefly. Now, if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, more or less, at the end of, very end of Tzadi Zayin, he paskins like the Rif in the Rambam, says in Tzadi Zayin Gimel, he says, Pasha often matzli, if you bake bread with tzli in the same oven, or dagim, that you roast in the same oven as meat, asur lachem b'chalav, it'd be prohibited to eat that bread together with milk. However, that's only if you're making in a small oven, like the Rebbeinu Tam. Avol b'taner gadol, hamachzik shneimasar esron isaronin, upiv pasuach mutter. But if you're making it in a big oven that has a large capacity, also mentioned piv pasuach, that's based on one of the Rishonim, then that's mutter. V'matzli mechusa, if the tzli is covered, v'chein pashtida shemechusa hanekev shabo, or pashtida, which is also covered, mutter afilu b'taner tzar, then it'd be permissible even in a small oven, like the pshat that we saw from the Balei Taisus. Okay. Fine, so just to summarize very quickly, we discussed Ein Lashon Isa B'Chalav, we talked about that you're not allowed to make milchik bread, you're not allowed to make fleishik bread. The way that you are allowed to do it is if you make a kein tura, we had two mahalchim, what kein tura meant. We had the sheet of Rashi, who said it means that you're making it in small quantities. We said you have the sheet of the Rif and the Ramam and the Rashba, that you're making it with a distinct shape. We had the Shita of the Taz, who said that similarly, you're not allowed to make, if you have a parv grinder that you made, that you used for spices, and you use these spices for milchiks and for fleishiks, so now if you one day accidentally make this grinder fleishiks, you're not allowed to use this grinder until you kasher it, for the same concern. That was in terms of Ein Lashon Isa B'Chalav. Then we talked about Reicha. We had this machlokas between Rav and Levi, the two subsequent psakim in the Gemara from Rav Kahan and Rav and Parzikya, which seemed to be that they held like that Recha Milsi, like Rav. We had a machlokas between Rashi and the Rebbeinu Tam of Hada Paskin. Rashi held to Paskin like Levi, in light of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that you have machlokas between Rava and Abaye regarding inhaling the fumes of wine. The Bala Tosfos, Rebbeinu Tam Paskin like Rav to say Recha Milsihi, because that's what seems to be in the Hemshech of the Gemara over there, that we have Maisa Rav to Paskin that way. We had three Malachim of how to understand the Hemshech of the Gemara. Rav, we had the Rif, who said that even Levi would be Machmir, Lichat Chila, Levi's Mekel only B'dieved. We had the Sheet of the Ran, who said that practically if you have bread that's infused with the aroma of meat, you're going to have to be Machmir, because then it feels like you're eating Basr V'chalav, or in general, we're more Machmir when it comes to Basr V'chalav. And then we had the Sheet of the Rav Yah, who said that Rav, who holds Recha Milsi, that's only in the context of meat, of fatty meat, cooking together with other meat. But in the subsequent case of the Gemara, then Rav would be Mekel. We said that the Beis Yosef Paskin like the Rif and the Rambam. And therefore, Lichat Chila, you should not make bread in the same oven as meat. But if you did, then you'd have certain heterim. We talked about the ways of obviating the issues of Recha. We had the Rajba, who said that Rav would be Mekel if it's Ke'en Shtei Kederos, or if it's in two different Kederos within the same oven, that's fine, and that's how the Mechaber Paskin as well. With the Sheet of the Balak Taisvis, that if the Pashtid is covered, that's also going to be like Ke'en Shtei Kederos, that's also fine. The Goshar Dura said that if the oven was slanted, that's also a reason to be Mekel. There was one point that we didn't go into, and that was we should just make a quick note of it, and that is Darvar Harif. Darvar Harif, the Rajba says that let's say you have a Darvar Harif that's cooked in the same oven as a treif. What's the story? So do you say that Recha La Milsi for Darvar Harif or not? So he says, well, we generally the stance that we have towards Darvar Harif is that Darvar Harif absorbs much more than other foods, and therefore you'd have to be Machmir for Darvar Harif. All right, fine, but that's the sugya, that's Simon Tzadizayin.